May it please the court, counsel. Rob Alvarado, I'm an assistant federal defender from Peoria, representing Mr. Stoeldorf. Your Honor, the record is very straightforward in this case. The law regarding Batson is very clear. I intend to be very brief in this argument. I just want to make a couple of points regarding this case. We're not only asserting Mr. Stoeldorf's right to have a jury picked fairly and without any racial discrimination, we're trying to vindicate the rights of Mr. Salih and also the right of the public to have a fairly picked jury so they can have confidence in the system. Your Honor, going back to what the government said about Mr. Salih, the only African-American veneer person on this panel, they said that he was struck because he had two nephews who were in trouble and that he demonstrated some bias against the government.
Were they jailed?
I'm sorry?
Were they jailed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Then they were just in trouble.
Yeah, they were both in serious trouble.
All right. Okay, but that's a little different than trouble.
The government, certainly, but the government did not strike jurors who also had even closer family members who were in trouble. One of the white jury members had a brother-in-law who went to prison for possession of narcotics. One of the jurors had two DUI convictions himself. Another one who the government, I believe, passed over, didn't strike, was a person who had a son who was on probation for a theft at the time. Point is, there were close family members of other white jury members that the government didn't strike who sat on this jury. The government says, well, that's a little bit different because this man, Mr. Salih, demonstrated a bias against the government. And I think if the court will let me, just very briefly, I want to go to that part of the record that demonstrates that bias, according to the government. It's very brief. Judge McCuskey said to the juror, without seeing a witness, without knowing anything about them before they testify, would you give all law enforcement officials more credibility than any other witness? The man said no. The government said at the time that he answered that question a little bit too quickly for them, and they said that that demonstrated bias. Judge McCuskey then followed up and he said, would you give them less credibility than any other witness? And the juror said, he thought about it, and he said, I wouldn't give them less credibility, but I would like to hear what they have to say as pertains to the case. Now that's a correct statement of the law, and it shows at least some thoughtfulness.
Wasn't the government running short of its peremptory challenges so that it couldn't have gotten rid of all these white people who also had relatives or pasts?
No, that's absolutely true. The question is, why did they strike this black veneer person who had exactly the same characteristics as some of the white jurors that it didn't strike? And you have to look at all the circumstances surrounding that.
But it used four peremptory challenges, right?
No,
it used four when it got around to Sally, didn't it?
I believe it was
six. So
correct.
So it was a choice between Sally and two white people, right?
Correct.
So those two whites, those are the ones you have to compare, right? Not the ones on which they had exercised peremptory challenges.
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because the government could have selected any of those jurors in any particular order. The only thing they couldn't do was...
You can't complain about people they struck, right?
No, I think the court can.
That's ridiculous. Suppose you had a white person whose record was worse, better, the same as the black person. The government strikes him. How does that affect your... How is that going to help your case?
The only way it helps, Your Honor, is because it demonstrates the purposeful discrimination. It shows the pattern and what was going on in the government's mind, because the government's not going to say, sure, we struck him.
I didn't understand. They struck four white people,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Who were similar to your client. I mean, not to your client, similar to this other juror, Sally, right?
Correct.
So the fact that they struck all those whites, how does that help you show discrimination against blacks? I don't get that.
Because it shows that the government's proffered reason why they struck Mr. Salih doesn't ring true when you compare it with the reasons that they struck these other people, or at least the stated reason, which is that he had they have a criminal record in their family that would demonstrate some sort of bias.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
I don't understand you. You say that was the reason they gave for striking those four. If they gave the same reason for striking them and striking him, what's the problem?
The problem is that was a pretext, Your Honor. The reason they struck Mr. Salih...
Why did they strike the other four, the four white people?
I don't know. That wasn't asked of them.
They gave reasons, didn't they?
No.
No.
No, they didn't. No, they only gave reasons for the jurors they actually struck.
Yes, right. Because they struck...
I mean, that we complained of.
Okay, but they struck four white people, right?
We only complained of two strikes, Your Honor. One was to Mr. Salih, one was to Mr. Baig, who was of South Asian descent. The other white jurors they struck, we didn't complain of that because we certainly
they
could
struck
not...
four white jurors.
Right.
But you don't know why they struck those jurors?
Well, they said that because they had criminal records in their families.
So they strike white people who have criminal records, and they strike black people who have criminal records. Where's the discrimination?
The discrimination is in how the government responded to the judge's questions when they actually gave proffered reasons. And let me just
what
point
do you
this
mean,
out.
Proper reason? Which reason did they give isn't proper?
They said that Mr. Salih was actually hostile to law enforcement. And they said, you look at that
record.
Did you
follow it up and say, how were they hostile?
Well, they said because he had two nephews who had prior criminal records and because he answered the question that he would not give law enforcement officers more credibility than any other witness. He answered that question too quickly. That's what they said to Judge McCoy.
I didn't say they did.
I'm sorry?
I didn't say they did.
Well, then, when I pointed out to the judge that the man had a prior degree in criminal justice, he had gone to Parkland College, they said, well, that's another reason why we struck him, Judge, because he never got a job in law enforcement after he got that degree. And they said that was
a foolish answer. That I agree with.
Well, I think it's more than foolish. I think it demonstrates that there was that they intended to strike Mr. Salih for a reason other than they stated.
No, it's the reason he took the course because it was an easier course. He wanted to get a higher grade.
That's possible. The point is, the government never asked Mr. Salih why he didn't get a degree or why he didn't get a job in law enforcement.
Why didn't you ask him?
Because at the time,
you had an opportunity, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
In fact, the only question that was asked by the government was whether any guns were involved with Mr. Salih's two nephews, since this was a firearms case, and guns were not involved in those cases. But Your Honor, if you look at, then you look at the government's brief, they said, well, I tried to give an answer to your question as to why Mr. Salih didn't get a job in law enforcement, and I speculated that perhaps he suffered discrimination 30 years ago when he did get his degree and he couldn't get a job because of that.
Do you want to save some of your time for your rebuttal?
Oh, yes, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
No, that's up to you.
No, I would like to reserve a couple of minutes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Alvarado. Mr. Miller?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Eugene Miller, and I represent the United States as I did in the district court and during jury selection. And first, let me assure the court that I did not engage in purposeful racial discrimination.
Look, you're not here testifying. Actually, it's a worry of mine that you're here at all, because your credibility is at issue. I mean, fundamentally, this appeal is about whether the district court clearly erred in finding you to be credible. But you can't testify here. We really need somebody objective from the United States.
I understand, Your Honor.
Please leave the microphone alone.
Okay. Yes, Your Honor. And in our office, our understanding is to, when there is the conduct of the prosecutor that is at question, to make that prosecutor available to the panel to answer any questions that the panel might have.
This is not a forum in which people testify and are cross-examined, and we make no credibility determinations.
I understand, Your Honor.
I think you're approaching this entirely the wrong way, and you should take back my reaction that the United States attorney should think very carefully before he sends in somebody whose credibility is at issue.
Understood, Your Honor. And along that note, as this court, as you correctly noted, it is the credibility determination of the district court that this court must find that the court clearly erred in finding that purposeful racial discrimination did not occur, and that the answer of the prosecutor in the case in responding was credible. Have to find, in fact, that basically the prosecutor lied or gave an outlandish answer regarding the reasons for the strikes. In this case, just to respond to a couple of the arguments made by defense counsel, as this court has correctly noted, five of the six jurors who were struck had family members who had been convicted of serious criminal offenses and had gone to prison.
All five had gone to prison?
I believe all five had gone to prison, Your Honor. If not, certainly the juror who's a question here, his two nephews had both gone to prison,
that.
So they were at least as
serious. All five had.
Those were as serious. The three that are, so that left us with only one additional strike. There were three Caucasian jurors who defense counsel points out in his brief who also had family members in trouble. They were misdemeanor type offenses, and we point out in our brief why it is that we distinguish those jurors from juror who we refer to as juror RS. The reasons being for some of the that those jurors distanced themselves from that criminal conduct, that those they didn't need to discuss it in private. That was one of the distinctions between the jurors who were struck who wanted to discuss in private those convictions, whereas, for example, one juror who was not struck had no problem discussing it in front of the entire array and discussing, my relative was treated fairly, I have no problem with that. And one of the cases was a person himself who had received DUIs many years ago who represented to the court that he felt he had been treated fairly by the system. And so we would just point out that we did strike similarly situated jurors. That was the reason, one of the reasons that we struck juror RS, and we didn't have additional strikes to strike those jurors who we thought would not be as unfavorable to the government as perhaps the jurors that we did strike. Obviously, as we've noted, it's not a science in exercising peremptory strikes. It's simply based on looking at characteristics that the United States believes, and it could be argued one way or the other, but believed would make those jurors less favorable to the government. And simply, and just to address the response of juror RS regarding the law enforcement questions, again, that's something that Judge McCuskey had an opportunity to observe and then factor that in when he listened to the stated reason of the prosecutor as one of the reasons that juror RS was struck, namely when asked, and again, it's in a cold record, it's hard to bring into the context the same as the Judge McCuskey would have heard it when asked, would you find law enforcement officers, give them more credibility? No. Would you give them less credibility? Well, I'd want to hear what they have to say. In other words, it's the context of the proceeding. Judge McCuskey heard that. After hearing that and then hearing the government's response, he found that that response was a credible, race-neutral, legitimate reason, not a pretextual reason. The prosecutor in this case has tried numerous cases in front of Judge McCuskey, which gives him, again, that unique position to analyze whether the prosecutor was credible or not during the proceeding. And I make myself ready and available if you have any additional questions concerning this appeal.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Mr. Alvarado, how much time does he have? 2 minutes, you have anything further?
Your Honor, it is a very difficult job to try to evaluate a cold record and to try to determine what was going through the minds of the prosecutors when they exercised their challenges. All you can do as judges on this panel is look at the cold record, look at what Judge McCuskey said. He didn't evaluate Mr. Salih's answers. He just said, well, I find that your stated reason was race
was
neutral.
Was Mr. Miller accurate when he said that Salih first, when asked whether he give more credibility to law enforcement witnesses, he said no. And then would he give less credibility, and then there was a hesitation?
A hesitation? I don't recall. I don't remember that.
Well, he said, no. He said, well, you know, I'd want to hear from them first. Is that accurate? It's kind of critical.
It very well could be, Your Honor. I don't recall it.
So he's treating, you know, that's a rather telling asymmetry, isn't it?
I don't think so. I think it.
I wouldn't give them more, but I might give them less, right?
I didn't see that at all. I was there, Your Honor, and I didn't see that.
This is critical. You must know what was actually said.
Absolutely, I read it into the record.
And was Mr. Miller's representation of what was said accurate?
What he said was accurate. Whether there was a hesitation on Mr. Salee's part?
Well, no. But according to Mr. Miller, he said, well, I'd want to hear them first before I decided, right?
That's absolutely right, and that's an accurate statement of the law.
But why didn't he say that when he was asked whether to give him more credibility?
I don't know. Maybe he thought about the question a little bit more clearly.
Well, maybe yes, maybe no.
Thank
okay,
you,
well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not?
I was.
Yes. Well, we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your opponent. Next case.